handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bay.
A very good Wednesday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online. And at our website, stevebeck.com. Certainly keeping an eye on and talking to Case about what's going on in Florida as the latest edition of Why Do You Live There? no, I'm just kidding. I think I saw, didn't I see something that said Tampa hasn't had a threat like this since 1950. Right? So that's you know, that's not every other year. That's, you know, 70 plus years. It's a long time. But still, you know, this is going to be, well, you know, just more than an inconvenience, more than like when we get a thunderstorm up here and, you know, power gets knocked out for a couple of hours, or actually for us, the winter. Yeah, right. Winter storms are a little more dangerous when you knock power out. And we had a tree fall across Main Street here, 29, and it took them, gosh, I'm going to say 2 days, at least 36 hours, maybe 2 days. And I've told you about living through the ice storm in Montreal, the Northeast ice storm, which was just beyond belief. There were people on the South Shore of the St. Lawrence that didn't have power for over a month, 2 months. In some cases, my friend Kelly and her aunt and uncle didn't have power. If you've ever seen pictures of that, the high tension towers completely just crumpled. It was something I can identify with anybody that has gone through that. When I was a kid, we had, Tina and I stopped in Springfield in Agawam at the Big E on the way home from Philly. Figured it'd be the only chance we'd get to go to the Eastern States Exposition. And when I was a kid in the 70s, we had a storm in the Northeast. And we didn't have power for a week. That's right. We stayed the first night in the house, my brother and I, my parents, and my father, fireplace down in the basement. And that, you know, that's a deceptive solution, because I felt this is what happened in Montreal that time. When you build a fire in your fireplace, and yeah, okay, it gives off some heat, but it also draws all kinds of air from everywhere and goes up the flue. So all it does, maybe it makes you a little warmer. You put your hands near and you huddle up in blankets, but it's taking any heat in the room and it's going right up the chimney. So it's a misnomer. We had that one in Montreal. It was crazy. The one in New York, in Connecticut, I'm bringing up Springfield because we went to West Springfield. My mother, you know, who was a travel agent, she got us into I see it all the time whenever we drive home from, you know, on 91 and right before you get on the Mass Pike to head back, you know, toward Albany. And I still see the hotel. And we stayed there like 6 nights. And my dad and I would drive to Manchester each day, and he had an oxyacetylene torch that he'd walk through the house and to warm the house up, and particularly the bathroom, so that the commodes wouldn't freeze. I must have been like 12 or 13. And in Montreal, that was nuts. I mean, we were, girlfriend, Patricia and I, And I can just remember I was basically running out of wood. We had enclosed ourselves in the front room, and sealed things off, and you know tried to keep it warm. And I was literally out of firewood, and it was like day three without electricity. And you know, you have to stay up, or you wake up, you stay partly awake, you know, to keep, you know, keep the fire going. You don't want the fire to go out. And I was basically out of, I mean, I think I was breaking up old boxes and stuff. Anything I could find to, you know, to keep the fire going. And all of a sudden, I remember it was like 4:30 in the morning, and I'm sitting there, and they had told you, Hydro-Québec had told everybody, turn all your appliances off, so that when the power does come back, there isn't this huge draw immediately, because the system was so tenuous, and they were trying to, you know, bring power back in sections of Montreal and you know, throughout the region. And I remember I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I see the VCR. I see the time on the VCR is flashing, you know, 12, 12, 12, 12. And I looked at it, and I thought, oh, I gotta reset the VCR. And I said, wait a minute. If I have to reset the VCR, the power's back. And it was. You worried, okay, is the power going to stay on? And it did. It did stay on after that. That was crazy. I forget, 96, maybe. It was fun the first night, and then when you're all together with friends and family, for about the first 12 hours, it's festive and you're drinking and doing whatever. Yeah, we had people over, and we thought, this won't last too long. Yeah, but there were just trees and branches and things. Everything was just falling out of the sky and just taking wires down everywhere. Plus, there was literally a coat of ice on everything that was like 3 inches thick. It was crazy, just crazy. And yeah, you could hear. We lived down, in Montreal in the in a neighborhood just off of St. Catherine and St. Mathieu, and right by Faubourg, for those of you that know the Faubourg St. Catherine. And you just kept hearing trees cracking. You'd hear the boughs, they were bending, and then they would break and come smashing. It was crazed. That was an experience, and so I wish everybody best of luck and batten down the hatches and so forth. And we're trying to make potential. And even though Casey in the studio is on the East Coast, there's no school already, and I guess the airport's shutting down and all that. So we're gonna try to see if we just in case there's issues tomorrow and or Friday, we'll. See if we can, because it's a big weekend coming up, and we got draws today, obviously, at Churchill and what has everybody decided to call the Belmont at Aqueduct? It's just so cumbersome. I see Belqueduct, some other goofy hybrids. That people are trying. Yeah. It's a big weekend. And there's actually a series also at Delaware of action starting today with the Small Wonder and the First State. And a lot of times that's on the owner appreciation day, but they spread it out this year. But they'll draw today in New York, where we're looking forward. I guess the Woodward pretty much is going to be going to be a narrow field. They're not exactly rushing to face Life is Good. I can understand that, I guess. And we can't have all the high level confrontations every single week. But the Lucas Classic is going to be important, obviously, leading as well at Churchill, leading to the Breeders' Cup Classic. And so, those in terms of the, in terms of the Breeders' Cup Classic division, the Woodward and the Lucas, the focus. We've got Turf Sprint at Belmont as well, in the Champagne and the Miss Grio. The ACAC, the Champagne, the Miss Grio, and the ACAC are all winning your in races too, FYI. And you got the Rich races, in fact, that came up yesterday with, was it with Kenny or was it with Steve Asmussen? Was it with Asmussen, I think, wasn't it? Or no, was it Kenny? Who did we talk about the In Reality and the My Dear Girl, the $400,000 Sire Series races in Florida? McPeak. Yeah, McPeak had High Fashion Lady. Yeah, that's what it was. McPeak and High Fashion Lady. And then, of course, then we also talked about those maiden races that then subsequently came up that Andy brought up. So that Hawthorne Derby, which we also talked about with Kenny, for the three-year-olds going a mile and an eighth. There's good racing at Laurel, too, actually. We'll talk to on Friday. We missed Callie last week, Callie Francois. And I do have the results I want to slip in here from last week. I'm going to get that. I want to clear off that pile of stuff. But the Laurel Futurity and the Salima, the Twixt, and the Shaladin. Shaladin, my Shaladin. What else? There's Iowa. There's the big Iowa bred that came up too with Steve, right? He had the Iowa bred. And then, of course, the action at Santa Anita. And looking forward to this draw with the Awesome again being the other classic division race. The Eddie D, which has become a fixture. City of Hope, the mile on the turf, and the sprint championship as well, and the John Henry. So four grade twos and a grade one to open the meet. Also the Unzip Me down the hill. So there's two. There's the boys down the hill with the Eddie D, and then the girls with the Unzip Me. So, they come back on Sunday, too, at Aqueduct with the Frisette and the Pilgrim to coincide with the Champagne and the Miss Grio. So lots going on, and we'll be watching. I actually have a dentist thing during the afternoon today, 2 o'clock. So I won't necessarily be at the ready to send out the parade of fields. I'm sure Dave Grenig will be in the racing office at Aqueduct to give everybody the field ideas. I also saw that, seeing as how we had so many Keeneland references yesterday, I was going through, in fact, I think I may have left it downstairs. No, there it is right there. Look at me. The Fall Stars weekend next week at once Churchill wraps up the Keeneland Fall Stars action, where among the stars of fall, as the leaves are starting to turn, by the way, they were a little, they seemed a little slow to get going, and I don't know if it's going to be. I don't think we're in for a fiery, blazing reds and yellows. It seems a little bit more, sepia toned. It's just fun to say sepia toned. The Latruska Bell's the One comes right back, so Neil Pessin and Shanato Vada Neil, and In Love for Paolo Lobo, Latruska, Golden Pal, Bell's the One. Plenty more. Those two-year-olds, you heard some reference to the ones that can. I've got. I should take a picture of what I wrote of the way I scrawled all the names that Kenny was firing at us. I think I did pretty good. I think I got most of those horses that Kenny was talking about yesterday. Let me give you a feel. Dick Powell's going to join us shortly And we'll do a little, we'll do the Hong Kong, do the HKJC action, which is rolling along here that at the Valley where it's happy. And we're about, let's see, how far are we from race six? So we'll get the pick three action. Dick got stymied last week, but we'll see if we can't make the action happen for you. They're actually about to go. The fifth is about to go, and I did not get a chance to really look at this. I was kind of scurrying around to get ready. So Dick Powell, shortly, after I get through the opening salvo here. Nick is going to join us. Nick Tamaro in the third hour, about 11:30, will slip. In fact, maybe Seth, well, we'll get Seth on either side of Nick's visit. But Nick is going to walk through the Assiniboia pick five. And let's get that number, actually, while we're on this topic. And then I will tell you a couple other things that are going on, and including a visit from Todd Fincher. Yeah, and if you followed the weekend news out of Albuquerque, yeah, more HISA craziness. The jackpot ticked up another 40,000 or so. So it's at 535,000 going into this force out tonight. And I got to tell you, I handicapped the sequence. It's difficult. You know, these are low-level claimers for the most part, and you know, 2,500 5,000, 2,500, 7,500, and 1,500. So, and these are Canadian dollars. So, this is tough. This is not easy. There are a couple of horses, particularly in the first leg. I mean, is there anything more? Is there anything more harrowing than that big, gigantic beach ball single looking thing in the first leg of a sequence, right? Tough Enough to Start is the name too. So that'll also make it a little tricky. 8-5, Tough Enough to Start, but there is also a 9-5 Lady Sunset. And I thought, as it happens, there's a horse that's the second longest price, 15-1, La Chica de Fuego. The hot girl. There you go. Or the girl on fire. The girl on, well, Chica, girl, de fuego, fire. The girl of fire. The girl on fire. That's the Hunger Games, right? Yeah. You know, budget wise, it's 20 cents per increment. So, yes, you can spread a little, but there's a couple of races where you're going to want to spread. The last leg, the seventh feels like there's only the 140-1 shot that seems impossible. And I thought that the third leg, races five and seven, felt like the absolute toughest races to get through. So we'll see what Nick's going to do at Assiniboia as they say goodbye to 2022 for the season. Todd Fincher, let's get to Todd's conversation. And he's going to join us at 10:30 Eastern after the latest incident involving the possible violation of the crop restrictions per HISA. And in this particular case, so far we have been talking about cases, the one, you know, Todd Mostoller and Dave Duggan. And there's been others. There's one every, at least one every week, it seems. But on Saturday, in the Downs at Albuquerque stake, which is a nice $200,000 stake. For those of you that don't necessarily follow, you know, the racing in New Mexico, Todd Fincher and Mr. Peacock, Joe Peacock, and Sheriff Brown, and not just them, but almost everybody on the, almost everybody, you know, among the board hits, board top finishers, are being disqualified. And having this, you know, considerable purse taken from them. And it, much like Todd Mostoller discussed with us and ended up proving out when he had the hearing with Mark Guilfoyle, Todd maintained that Kendra Carmouche had, in fact, not struck Dufresne 10 times. And that ended up, you know, upon further review, ended up being the case. And Todd Fincher's got the same complaint, which is that Sheriff Brown is not being hit, that Oscar Ceballos is kind of waving and even, you know, just kind of tapping, not a strike, but just sort of working the neck and the shoulders. And so so maybe this gets into a case of, you know, what constitutes a strike, quote unquote. I mean, do you have to lift your hand? Is that, you know, and come down? Isn't that a strike? I mean, if you've got the stick, you should ask. We'll ask Tony tomorrow. If you've got the stick in your hand and you're twitching your wrist and just you know, touching the horse on the neck or shoulder, is that a crop strike? The point is, penalizing owners for this is crazed, and they're just going to keep going forward with this. They're just going to, you know, I guess their rule, their response or their feeling toward this, because you certainly don't have a spokesperson saying anything. That's one of the other parts of this that is, I mean, just crazed that at this point, that we're this far in, what is it, 4 months, and there you never hear any official response to anything. But I can guarantee you they're demotivating owners with this, and yeah, I'm sure they think, oh well, at some point the jocks will just stop doing it, and maybe down the road, I'm sure down the road there'll come a point when, you know, riders, you know, are you know, trained well enough or are brought up in the trade, in the, you know, through the apprenticeship and you know, through their training process, the jock schools around the world and so forth. At some point, I imagine, you know, the use of the crop will be limited to, you know, just a handful of urges. But this is just silly. I mean, it's just so unfair and, you know, demotivating to those that own and are paying the bills. So, and Todd Fincher will join us. He's got about 10-15 minutes at 10:30 Eastern. So we'll talk to Todd. Sid, of course, it's Wednesday. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus. I haven't really talked to Sid about what he wants to broach today, and I haven't looked at what his column is yet, taking stock in TDN. But, I mean, it's going to be hard to not discuss the Gunrunner, you know, avalanche of performance. It's just unbelievable. So, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. We'll get Popo in here. We couldn't get to Popo yesterday. Seth Merrill later as well. And Dick Powell. In fact, Case, why don't you reach for Dick? Might as well. Dick's fun because you can always just throw any topic at him, and we just go from there. And with the backdrop of Shatin's action over the weekend and coming up next week and right now, Happy Valley. So, yeah, Todd Fincher on that topic. And as I mentioned yesterday, some of the details that emerged after Saturday's searches and seizures and the investigator team that goes by the moniker Organization of Racing Investigators. They searched some cars and barns and have come up with some, as mentioned yesterday, some syringes. And they found a buzzer, a unit. Edwin Repelet Rivera, possession of a electrical device, and Miguel Penaloza, syringes in the tack room, and Cesario Marquez, same thing. And they had Mondays and all summarily suspended and ruled off, etc. And, you know, this is one of those funny double-edged swords. Everybody is constantly saying, this is going on and the cheating is going on and so forth. And then when there's actual success at stopping people, that's no good either, I guess. I mean, you can't have it both ways. I mean, if you're alleging that, there's all kinds of nefariousness going on, well, okay. Here's some people that are caught red-handed and are, suspended and won't be back anytime soon, if at all. So... isn't that what we want? And maybe it's two different sets of people that are. maybe it's two different people. You know, one set of people saying one thing, and who are these people? So I just. It's good that this is what we want. You want to catch and the fact that there's boots on the ground, quote unquote. Where's Seth Merrill? Whenever boots on the ground comes up, it's always with Seth. That's what you want. And we talked a little bit about the absence, the TRPB, and what. That, what that represented in its era. It's still around, but it's more now monitoring the pools, Curtis Linnell, than doing the investigative work that this team, the Organization of Racing Investigators, is performing. Handpicked team of specialists. This is from the press release. Handpicked Pennsylvania, Texas, California, Arizona, Florida, Kentucky, on site at Presque Isle and at Penn National, and then finally Parks. So basically, sweeping and keeping a watch. I to me, this is nothing acts as a deterrent better than, you know, this kind of success at you know, catching people that have things in their possession that can influence outcomes of races. That's what you, that, you know, you applaud this. You don't jump up and down and say, see? Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's money involved. Right? Here's Dick Powell. And Dick, you know, it's funny what happens when there's money involved in anything. There's people trying to steal some of it.
Well, I'm curious as to who paid for everyone to show up from various states as investigators. Huh. Did Parks pay for it, or did the Pennsylvania Gaming Commission pay for it? I mean, that, you know, you think about it, you got 10 people from 10 different jurisdictions. That costs money. Fly them in, house them, stuff like that, get them out there in the mornings. You know, that's a lot of work. So hopefully there was a funding mechanism to take care of it. And,
Yeah, the press release, actually, that's a good question. The press release, the press release did not, other than identifying the concept, the Pennsylvania State Horse Racing Commission led the effort. Jason Clouser, Director of Enforcement. So it appears the commission was, you know, acting in the interests of racing. That's good.
Okay.
I think it's a positive, right?
Yes, and I noticed I was reading some HESA stuff yesterday, and who is it? Mark Guilfoyle is going to be the contact with racing commissions between HESA and racing commissions.
Well, yeah, he's been the most visible participant, and a welcome one. He's well known, and certainly, you know, the experience I know that Todd Mostoller had when it came to Dufresne, he was impressed and quite pleasantly surprised at how reasonable and how, you know, when they had their, you know, their hearing, and Guilfoyle saw exactly what Todd laid out when it came to Dufresne and the strikes involving Dufresne and Carmouche, and overturned the initial DQ and said, no, you're fine. We'll see what happens here with, this is quite a situation involving this, you know, Downs at Albuquerque handicap. To take a six figure. We knew this was going to come. It started out 5,000 for Dufresne, and then 43,000 for Dave Duggan, and now here's a six-figure penalty involving a winner of a stake race.
Well, one the opposite extreme was, in my mind, a race at Ascot. I don't know if it was the St. James Palace, but it was So You Think at Ascot, and he got photoed by Frankie. I think Frankie was on Rekindling or Rewilding, something like that, for Godolphin. And Frankie hit the horse 43 times and took a severe penalty. But the results stood. The money wasn't changed or anything else. So I think that's what you're trying to avoid. An owner saying to the rider, listen, I'll pay the fine. Don't worry about it. You get this horse home first, and, you know, whatever you have to do. Okay, that's one extreme. Now, the other extreme is, you know, whips that barely make any kind of impression on anybody, and, you know, sitting there counting, did he hit him, did he not hit him? Why are we even there? I mean, we have enough problems, you know? How do you settle on this one? And, you know, when you get outsiders, they always say, oh, we're gonna do the low-hanging fruit. Well, this isn't just, this is nothing. Just it shouldn't be on the table, and they have lots of other stuff to do. And when I read the thing yesterday with the Hyssop thing, no, you think about it. January's not that far off. And I'll tell you what's not that far off. It's the University of Arizona Symposium. And we'll see where they are at that point, because last symposium, no one could believe that they hadn't come up with a list of therapeutic medications and things. And the question, which will be interesting in December, is will they take questions? Will people be allowed to raise their hand and ask questions? Now, the last time in Arizona, they did, but at the Albany Law Conference, they did not, which led to a lot of frustrations because there were people that flew into town and registered and were ready to go, and nope, no questions. So we'll see how it moves along, but it's just a sideshow.
Let's table this for a minute, Dick, and can come back to that and similar topics after we talk about HKJC. We're about 8 minutes away from this first leg of the last pick three of the evening, and for us, the morning. We got the Admiralty Handicap, 7 minutes now, and this is a sprint. What are we doing in this pick three?
My pick three is nothing terribly creative, but it's a 3x3x3. First leg, I'm going to go with Nakone County, high weight, 135 pounds, but Alpha Chan is the rider, so we get 5 pounds off. We draw well. I don't mind the weight as long as we draw well, and we're from post three, so we should be okay. The other two are excellent peers. There's a bit of a price with Matthew Chadwick. Chadwick's been riding extremely well. This one's for Frankie Law. Comes off a good second back in July 13th, so he's off a little bit of a freshening. And the favorite, number five, Yo Beauty, Alexi Vidal and Tony Cruz. Another one coming out of the same race back in July 13th. Draws the rail, and hopefully Vidal can get him out of there, get by that first elbow, and set up shop. So first leg, 1-4-5. The second leg, we're going to go 6 furlongs, 1,200 meters again. Three horses, number one, Beauty Glory. I think Zach Pert and Tony Cruz has a lot of speed. Post seven won't be a problem. And it's kind of as the first race is also, Steve, first race of the handicap, there's three horses highly weighted. And then the three is 130. Then you go down to 122 and below. In this race, you got 135, 31, 31. And then it drops down to 25, low 20s. So, yes, Beauty Glory's carrying the high weight, but we should get a trip. And with Zach, that's usually not that big a deal. I'm going to throw in a price here, number 7, Super Eagle, making its Hong Kong debut for David Hayes. Raced in Australia. Makes the first start in Hong Kong. Did show really good speed in the trial, in barrier trial. So that's what kind of I'm banking on. Luke Curry, who had a win earlier today, is the rider. And then the 9, winning Icy Casper Founce. Luke Ferraris comes in off a nice win on September 14th, right back here. Hot horse will stay with them. So 1-7-9. And the second leg, and then the third leg, three more horses, 1-3-7. I'm going with some high weights, so usually that's not what I do. But I just landed on these horses. Number one, Super Bella, good win back in June, off the freshening. See if Frankie Lord can have this one ready to go. Then we're going to use the 3, Romantic Combo. Draws post 11, which I almost tossed him because of that, but I just think going to 1,800 meters, you get a little bit of a run into the first turn. So he does show some pace. I think Jerry Chow can overcome that. And then the favorite should be number 7, Comet Splendido. Was a good third back on September 14th. made up a lot of ground in the last furlong. He'll be flying again. So 145 with 179 with 137. Now, one thing to note, in horizontal bets in Hong Kong, whether they're doubles or the treble, the pick three, there's always a consolation in the last leg. So if you can hit race six and seven, even if you run second in the third leg, they still pay you a consolation. So obviously they pay on the three winners, but they also pay on the two winners and the second place horse in the last leg. So let's get to that last leg. It's got to get, you know, last week we thought we were on our way, and we weren't. So try to get through it today. They're mulling around, heading to the gate. And the turf is good tonight. Now, a couple of big news items. This one, you knew he wasn't well, but Joe Moreira is going to be out at least 6 months. The club put out a statement with Joe being quoted about having a hip injury. And he said he's been suffering from left hip pain. He's going to undergo platelet-rich plasma treatment, which he's had 2 years ago. He'll be having a certain period of rest, rehab, and physiotherapy. I hope to return to riding in 3 months' time. So that's a real blow for the racing there and for Joe himself to be out that long. But it also shows with the rules that they have, if you're not 100%, you're not riding. So Joe has not been 100%. The kind of results indicate that. And now he's going to get this thing fixed and hopefully come back and be the old Joe Moreira. So that was one thing. Karis Teton, who's usually the third leading rider in Hong Kong, an indefinite period of time with an illness. So he's been stood down. And that's obviously going to have a big effect. So now you're going to see a lot of rider switches. Zach is already leading rider, and that will probably continue to be that way with these other issues. But you got to really look at everybody else, Matthew Chadwick and people like that, and how much business they pick up and who's going to ride for John Size. Usually it's Joe who's going to get that business. And it should be interesting because it kind of adds a little bit of an element of chaos to the racing.
Hmm. Just about, call it a minute at this point to first leg. And one more time, 145 with 179 with 137 for Dick. So 3x3x3. And looking at your numbers, we got Yo Beauty as your 2-1 favorite for Cruz and Bedell. That's your 5, Yo Beauty. And 7-2 on Super Winner for Yip and Burton. The only other horse, there's two, actually, I guess Nakoni, up on the rail, Nakoni, the one, there you go, Casper Founds and Alfred Chan is mentioned, and you included Excellent Piers for a price, 9-1, the 4, so then there's also a 9-1 price on Namjung Sings, the 3, Harry Bentley for Shum, and now 10-1, so 4 horses, 1, 2, 5 horses, 1, 2, 3, 4 horses in single digits, Dick, as we get ready to send them 3 quarters.
And the form guide that you get off the website has an interesting page. It's a draw statistics for the last 12 months. So for 1,200 meters, and they break the draw statistics out to when they run on the C course. So this isn't just all 1,200-meter races at Happy Valley. This is when the rail was in this specific place. So in the last 12 months, there were basically 34 races at this distance. And when they get to the outside, now, logically it makes sense because you come out of that little chute, then you get that sharp right-hand turn before they head down the backstretch. Post 10, 0 for 34, post 11, 0 for 30, post 12, 1 for 26. So... And even post 8, 1 for 34, post 9, 2 for 33. So this configuration, you got to be inside. That's just, there's just no two ways about it. So when you look at these races, circle the ones who are on the outside. Don't throw them out, but just circle them so that it gets your attention. And then what I do, and because the horses are listed in weighted order. In other words, the high weight horses, number one, is at the top of the page. Then it's very easy to make that correlation. Well, do I want, like, the two horse in this race, Elon? He's from post 10, and he's carrying 132 pounds. I mean, that's a lot to overcome. And the bettors are pretty much ignoring him in the betting. So that's just one good aspect that they give you with the post position, not just the distance, but where the rail is.
Light flashing, and I love the blue jackets with the yellow pants. I love the attendants.
That looks, it looks so organized. The horses load quickly. When a horse is reluctant, there's like five people pushing him. So they're going to get this underway. Hong Kong and Japan
stumbled, and first out was Yo Beauty. Trainer Super winner Nam Jong sings. That's the top four into the first turn. The Coney County down on the inside of High Rise Soldier, and then there's two lengths to Equilibrium Turbo on the inside of Excellent Piers. Further back in the field is Elon. He's covering ground, and Modest Gentleman two and a half away. Last of all, Yo Beauty, the favourite in front, leads by one length. Trainer second, Nam Jong sings in the trail, third, having a lovely run around at the 650, followed by Super Winner. He's next. Midfield on the fence is Nakoni County. High Rise Soldier. Elon's had a wide passage throughout. Equilibrium Turbo, Excellent Piers, and last of all, Modest Gentleman, not hitting out overly well. Inside the four they come. It is Yo Beauty who turns in first. Over Trader, Nam Jong sings up the inside. Nakoni County, Super Winner, and then came High Rise Soldier out wider. Yo Beauty challenged by Trader. He's got a good kick here, Yo Beauty. Then came Nam Jong Sing's Excellent Piers. Nakoni County running on at the end. Yo Beauty in front, and Yo Beauty will hold on and break his maiden status at start number 21. Yo Beauty, a double for Bedell, has beaten home a fast finishing Excellent Piers, who rocketed through between runners. Trader close up, Nakoni County, Nam Jong Sing's High Rise Soldier, Super Winner, Equilibrium Turbo, Elon, and Modest Gentleman.
Yeah, good job, Dick. And that was a very game effort too, because it looked like off the turn he was going to get swallowed up.
Yes, they said he broke his maiden, but he had two wins before he got to Hong Kong. But he had been 0 for 20 at Hong Kong, and nice ride by Alexi Bedell. He used his pace to best advantage, and was game as could be. And who was second? Excellent Piers. Yeah.
Excellent Piers came second, absolutely, for Frankie Lohr at 10-1.
Yeah,
so there's your exacta.
Oh, exactly.
And actually, Dick, Nakoni, 5-4-9-1, because Nakoni County also, the one was hovering. But Trader, you know, maybe that's a little bit Trader's attempt at 7-1, maybe a little bit victimized by the wider draw, as you just laid out.
No, Trader was from post 4.
Oh, he's okay.
Oh,
that's right, because you got the. Yeah. There you go. Let's see, Nakoni. Yeah, because I forget about the. These red.
Yeah, Excellent Piers. Excellent Piers was from post 8, and so he had the widest draw of the horses who finished up close. So, all right, we're alive.
Good job.
We'd rather be alive at the second one. We're alive.
That's all right. 8-5.
Now, Saturday in Hong Kong is National Day, which means we're going to have racing at Sha Tin Friday night, early Saturday morning. 10 races, all on the turf. The National Day Cup Handicap Group 3 is a 1,000-meter sprint down the straightaway. Right now, about 8 horses entered. They draw the race tomorrow. And the favorite will probably be Cordyceps 6, who's like 6 out of 12 lifetime, has really moved up the ratings. And he was a Griffin horse the year before, and he ran into a horse named California Spangled and actually gave him a race. He's only beaten a length in course record time for Griffin. So he's, obviously California Spangled's gone on. I'll get to him in a second. But Cordyceps 6 has become a really good sprinter. He's run the 5 furlongs in 55.23, which if he can do that Saturday morning, he will be tough to beat. So that is the handicap, National Day Cup handicap. It's Saturday morning, Friday night. So we're a day early this weekend. Don't wake up Sunday morning expect to have racing on. You're going to miss it. California Spangle came back last week and was all the rage and lived up to it with the Celebration Cup handicap. 7 furlongs and 120.49, way faster than par for that distance. Tony Cruz, trainer, said it was as easy as he could be. He's going to go in a Group 2 mile in November, and then he will go against Golden 60 in the Longines mile in December. So California Spangle looked great, broke on top. This horse just rockets out of the gate. And then he uses his speed, but settles into just a terrific rhythm. So he was just spectacular last weekend. Heavy favorite. Now, even with him being the heavy favorite, he paid $2.20. The average one price last week was $21. And we're seeing a trend that we saw at the end of last year, Steve, where favorites had a real hard time, and the win prices were pretty significant. So we had one stretch Saturday night, $30, $31, $64, $33, $66, then a favorite, then $16. So last year we finished up like 29% winning favorites, and this year for the meet, 46 races, we have 46 races, 28% winning favorites. So favorites, you know, when you get a California Spangle, yeah, but then the day-to-day stuff, the hard-knocking, longer prices are doing very, very well. So do we have a quick time for the Arc de Triomphe?
Yeah, we got 7-8 minutes, and I also want you to talk about Stradivarius' retirement.
Yes. All right, the Arc right now, it's kind of crazy. We don't usually get this for these kind of races. They have a big controversy because they have limited the field to 20 starters, and they limit the field by their own ratings. And somehow they rated Very Elegant, a 9-time Group 1 stakes winner.
I saw this, yep.
Including the Melbourne Cup, she is out. She is now going to enter. She's already entered the pre. It's one of the Saturday races. What the hell's the name? It's one of the distance races on Saturday. It's a Group 1, but you're not allowed to enter in two races. So rather than wait and see if there's any defections, which there might be with rain or whatever, Henri Graffard had to put her in a race. So she's going to run in the Pre-Royaloo. And so even though she's been pointing to this race, Choir as her prep, she didn't get into the race. And okay, now the rain is creating lots of problems. Very Elegant out. Mishriff, who was a surprise entry, they were hoping for dry ground. So they watered the course on Sunday, which the racing manager for Prince Faisal had a little scratch his head moment over that one. They had rain on Tuesday, and right now we're looking at soft, not the usual like we've seen the last few years where it's just like heavy holding, you know, the worst possible conditions. I don't think it's going to be that bad. But you're not going to see good to soft. And you're probably not even going to see soft. So I don't know what that does to Mishriff, who is planning on coming to the Breeders' Cup before he goes to retirement in France. So Mishriff will be a great addition. 20 horses. The rail will be down. So that part of the course has not been used since July. So it's fresh ground. It won't even run out on Saturday. Sunday, a couple of the races will be on it before the Arc. So that'll be nice, fresh ground. And the home stretch, that they have like a cutaway where they turn for home, and then there's almost like a 5-meter passing lane on the inside. So there'll be fresh ground turning for home, but 20 horses, man, it's going to be a mess. Now, handicapping all these races, with the exception of the Prix de la Baie, which is run on a straightaway in almost a different direction, post position is critical. It is very hard to overcome at Longchamp when you get a wide draw. So whenever these races are drawn with final declarations and post positions are drawn, please pay attention to post position, because that's one of the key factors. If you're outside, you're probably going to stay outside. And outside in a 20-horse field means 5 wide, 6 wide, turn for home, 8 wide. You could get some horses lucky, safe ground. The inside should be okay. It shouldn't be the bog down in the inside when they do turn for home. So maybe that'll be a sneaky factor. But it's going to be a great race. But as far as having any kind of logic or rational reasoning to it, wow. You certainly don't want any of the favorites. I just can't imagine, unless they were like a wet track specialist that draws well. I don't want to go near any of those horses, because 20 horses, it's too much. Too much can happen. So we'll see what the draw shows, and that'll be interesting. And they got 10 Group 1s Saturday and Sunday. It's just, I know the Breeders' Cup doesn't want to hear this. It's probably the best weekend of racing in the world. It's just unbelievable what they have, and under the conditions and the atmosphere and everything else, it's just fantastic. So the Ark came up big, but there was no superstar in there. There was no Baid in there to maybe scare some horses away. So 20 horses, and there's a couple still on the fence that still could get in with the defection. So Very Elegant was ready to pay €130,000 supplement. They brought her here. They did everything they could, and the trainer's just beside himself. This does not help French racing. If you're trying to attract horses from around the world, this is a wild card that popped up. So I don't know. Just it's an unfortunate circumstance. Japan has title holder, and I always root for the Japanese horses in New York. They're going to win it one of these years. Maybe this is year. I'd have to see when his form guide comes out how he handled less than firm turf, because usually Japanese racing is usually on firm ground. So, yes, he'll get a mile and a half. Can he get it on these conditions? Vadini is kind of suspect getting the mile and a half on testing ground. So there's a lot of things to look at. But what a spectacular weekend of racing. So Friday night, set your alarm clock. You watch the Hong Kong races. That'll go to about 5:30 in the morning, East Coast time. And then maybe 6, 7 o'clock, Longchamp will begin Saturday's races. So you go right to Longchamp, and you got the Longchamp races on Saturday, and then Sunday morning you got the Longchamp races, including the Arc de Triomphe and 5 other Group 1s on Sunday.
Excellent. I appreciate that, Dick. Let me also get a quick hit. We got a, well, we're getting tight, but Stradivarius
returns. Well, to show you how odd this is, he's an 8-year-old and he's not a gelding. He's an entire. And the owner kept him in training, and John Gosden and his son did a wonderful job with him. He won multiple Group 1s. He was always a cup horse. He was always the Goodwood Cup and the Ascot Gold Cup, and just wanted to go 2 miles, 2.5 miles by Sea to Stars, and just had a terrific career. They've already found a place to stand in that stud. I think he's going to France also. And he was just such a great story, like Yates was for Aidan O'Brien. You know, just pointed for the Ascot Gold Cup every year. Sometimes he got the trip, sometimes he didn't. Sometimes ground was against him, but he always showed up. He always put in a terrific effort. He was described as being the soundest horse in racing, to keep doing it at his age. And like I say, not gelded, so he just kept going, showing up and running big races. But the longer the race, the better he was. So he'll be a big loss. He was very popular and source of controversy this year at Ascot with Frankie's ride. But still, Frankie had wonderful things to say, and Frankie rode him predominantly in his career. So Stradivarius, final song.
Dick Powell, everybody, and the HKJC action. And, Dick, we're looking for the 179 or the one and the 137 here in these next two legs. Best of luck. And we're about, let's see, 14 minutes from the 7th, which is another division of the Admiralty, another three-quarter group.
Yes.
And let's see, do we have we should have prices by now on that.
Beauty. Oh, I didn't see that. I'm looking at the odds. This coming race.
520.
Beauty Glories.
520. Actually, Dick, I tell you, all everybody had to do was take the three horses, the 145, box them up for the exacta. The exacta paid $51.
It's not bad with the favorite on top.
No, that's a great. That's a $2 price, but that's a tremendous. That's over 4-1. Unbelievable. Good job. All right, Dick. Thank you.
Thank you.
And enjoy the weekend. We'll talk next week.
Talk next week. Thanks.
Dick Powell, everybody. Let's take the break. We're right at 10 o'clock. We got an hour in, two to come. And Sire Watch, Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. Sid Fernando joins us next. Bottom of the hour, Todd Fincher on the just ridiculous situation for Sheriff Brown and owner Joe Peacock. Stalwarts in the New Mexico community, breeding community. You know, seeing as how we got some music here to play out, our as we always do, and our longtime favorite, I do want to slip something in. And I've been remiss. I've had it off to the side, and I have not had a chance to reach Julie Farr in New Mexico. But you know, those of you that are New Mexico racing fans and you know, I've appreciated Julie and her paddock work and for years. Her son, Bryce, had a terrible incident that has cost him a leg below the knee. And I don't know how many people were following this. It's about, actually, now it's probably 2 weeks. But, you know, series of surgeries to try to help, and ultimately this was where it had to go. So best wishes for recovery, and you know, he's young and you know, I'm sure he'll ride again, get back, and I want to just extend our thoughts and let Julie Farr and Bryce know that everybody sends their best. So, yeah, Julie, I think, just been on the show maybe twice over the years for a Sunland. It's been a while, so. I've had that off to the side. Should also slip in. Here's some up. Well. I'll save that one piece for later. There was a very nice announcement yesterday too that the Turf Writers and Broadcasters, of which I'm a member, announced yesterday that Kieran McLaughlin is going to receive the Bill Mooney Award for Courage in the Face of Adversity. And an outstanding selection, obviously. So, Kieran, to be honored with all the other recipients this year of NTWAB awards. That includes Jim McInville for the Mr. Fitz, and Barbara Livingston, the Joe Palmer, Chris Lincoln, the Jim McKay Award, and then Mike Welch and Tom Padula, who are sharing the Walter Hay they're each getting. And seeing as how I had to miss last year, I guess I get to say thank you too. And Lenny and I both had to miss the dinner last year. Taking a break. We'll come right back. Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio. The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association.